Okay, look with me as I read Romans chapter 9 and starting in verse 30. It says, Romans 9, verse 30, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do pray as we study our Bibles together today that your word will speak to us, that, Father, that we'll understand more clearly what salvation is all about, but also how we need to communicate that salvation message to lost people so that they'll hear and understand what decision you're waiting for them to make in their life. And, Father, I pray that as we look at these verses, that we'll be edified and built up, and that the glory of your grace would just shine unto us as we look again at the marvelous gospel of our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let me just kind of, for those who have followed the context of Romans 9, especially since I broke it up, let me just kind of give a little understanding. In verses 1 through 5 of Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is actually talking about his conversion, and talks about his conversion as if it marks a postponement in Israel's blessings. That it marks a time where God stopped his dealings with Israel, and the things that he promised to them, they'll come about, but they're postponed, and they're postponed by Paul's conversion. That's why we always say that it's the salvation and commissioning of the Apostle Paul that God stopped his dealings with Israel and turned to us Gentiles. And so Paul establishes that in the first five verses. But then in verses 6 all the way through 16, I think that's where the proper break ought to be in what the argument is that the Apostle Paul is giving. What he's pointing out here is that even though God stopped his dealings with Israel, when God was dealing with Israel, that he only recognized and had mercy upon the believing remnant of Israel. When I said recognize within the nation of Israel, the believing remnant as the real Israel of God. And that's the one, even when God was dealing with them, that's the ones that God recognized as being his people. Then in verses 17 through 24, the Apostle Paul is showing that God has the right to be long-suffering on vessels that are fitted to destruction so that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy. That God can and has endured with much long-suffering a vessel that's fitted to destruction. And Israel had no problem understanding that when it related to Pharaoh, because they could see that God endured, allowed Pharaoh to rise to power, endured his reign all those years before he finally judged Pharaoh with those plagues. And God did that to make his power known, and he did it by raising up the nation of Israel and making his glory known, the riches of his glory known on vessels of mercy, which was the nation of Israel. But the very last thing Paul says in verse 24 is, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Paul took that argument and turned it around so that the nation of Israel would realize God has the right to have endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, which is unbelieving Israel, that he might make the riches of his glory known on vessels of mercy, us Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles who believe in the age of grace. God has that right. And that's what he's established in those verses. Then in verses 25 through 29, we've studied those a couple weeks ago, but there Paul is affirming from the prophet of Hosea and the prophet Isaiah that after a time in which God does not have mercy upon Israel, that he will turn around again and have mercy upon Israel and will fulfill the promises that he's made unto them and bring his work on the earth to a conclusion. You know, one of the verses that we've never had time to look at, we're not going to take the time today, I just want to point out that it's there. Look at verse 28. It says, after he quotes the prophets about how God will restore and bless Israel in the future after this day in which he's not having mercy upon them, he says in verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. There's not much time left for the planet earth. We live every day of our life in the age of grace as an extended mercy of God. But in the prophetic program, there's no time left. That's why when God goes back to the nation of Israel and finishes his work there, it's going to be a short work. Everything you read in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is coming quickly. Things that must shortly come to pass, the book of Revelation says, because God's going to make a short work upon the earth. His purpose for the earth involves the nation of Israel, but God has interrupted that for 2,000 years, as in the age of grace today, he's calling out Jew and Gentile and forming the body of Christ. But these are the things that we've learned from Romans chapter 9. We come to verse 30, and Paul says this. He says, what shall we say then? As if after teaching all the things that we just described that he taught, Paul's saying, what shall we say then? In other words, okay, so where are we at? Now, you know, you've said so many things, Paul. You said that God stopped his dealings with Israel, but he'll be faithful. But even then, he was only dealing with the believing remnant of Israel. And yet today, God's not having mercy on them. He's having mercy on Jew and Gentile believers today, but God will again fulfill the nation of Israel. Where are we at, Paul? What should we say then? What's going on now? What is the present situation? What are you saying, Paul? That's what he's saying here. What shall we say then? Okay, here it is. And here's the basic, and boy, it's now all that complication is down to simplicity. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed not after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Let me just say that what Paul says in summary here, here's what I'm saying. Gentiles have attained. Israel has not attained. That's the long and short. That's the summary of everything he's been teaching here. Gentiles have attained. Israel hath not attained. Now that's what we're about to see, and we're going to understand not only did the Gentiles attain, but how they attained. We're going to understand that Israel hath not attained, and we'll understand why they have not attained. When we do that, we're about to look at something that some people cannot, and it might be proper, better said, that they will not conceive. We're going to talk about an idea, a thought, a truth, a doctrine that's taught here in Scripture that people just will not conceive. And I say will not more than cannot because they can conceive. And I say conceive rather than perceive, because sometimes when you're explaining something, perception has to do with someone understanding, discerning, distinguishing what you're talking about. And I think people can understand and perceive what we're talking about, but will not conceive it. Because conceive has the idea of receiving it, of believing it, of imagining it to be true, of comprehending it as a fact. And what we're about to say is very hard for people to conceive. You can explain it real easy. The reason I'm stressing this point is I said last week that we had a lot of visitors because of a special function we were having, and it would have been better to preach this message to them. I knew it when I stood up. I'm preaching to people that mostly attend Grace Bible Church, but you know, you could be sitting there and thinking that you're saved, and you might not be, and today's going to help you think about it and know whether you're saved or not. Because there's a defining statement that the Apostle Paul is going to make. So we're going to look at it closely, and you examine yourself, and when you know for sure that you're saved, then you'll also understand from these verses how you're to look at other people, and not to judge, but how to minister to them to help them understand the gospel so that you can be sure they're saved. There's a lot of friends and relatives that we have that we're not actually sure they're saved. They talk about the Lord, they go to church, but we're not exactly sure. How can you know? Where's the defining moment? Well, watch these verses and see if you can't learn something. First of all, let's look at what he says in verse 30 again. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after the law of righteousness have attained to the law of righteousness, which is of faith. So he says actually three things about the Gentiles. First, they didn't follow after righteousness. Now, to follow after means to you're seeking for something, you're looking for something, and you see it and you're going after it. When it comes to righteousness, Gentiles, we weren't enduring it, we weren't seeking it, we weren't following at. Gentiles were not following after righteousness. But the second thing that he says, they've attained to righteousness. They weren't even looking for it, they got it. And the way that they got it, it says, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, people who know me know that I have a real problem with one particular word in the Bible that's very hard for me to understand. It's two letters, it's of. Look at that verse. Even the righteousness which is of faith. Whenever that word of goes in my head, I get a blank thought. You can see in my face. This Wednesday, we are going to spend all of this Wednesday study looking at what Paul means in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he says we are of the day and of the light, children of the light. What does it mean we're of it? And sometimes I get lost in that. I'm not going to go any further. You come Wednesday, we're going to elaborate, spend the whole time studying the word of. But it's helpful here. This one's not really too difficult that you don't understand. It's the righteousness that came by way of faith. That these people who didn't follow after righteousness have obtained righteousness, and they attained it by faith on the basis of, or through, or by faith, that the Gentiles have attained to righteousness. But it would help you if you understood a little bit more about Gentiles as it's taught in the Bible, even by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come over to Matthew chapter 6. And if you got your bulletin, you might leave it in the book of Matthew. We'll be back here several times. Matthew chapter 6. Now when it says the Gentiles follow not after righteousness, you need to understand, first of all, you know, sometimes you forget to back up to very basics. In your Bible, a Gentile, the word Gentile means nations. When God separated out and created out of the nations a great nation and made them the nation of Israel, he separated Abraham out from his countrymen and made out of him a great nation, God created the nation of Israel. And so in your Bible, from the time that God created the nation of Israel, there was Israel and the Gentiles, or Jews and the Gentiles. And the word Gentiles just means everything, every other nation other than Jews. Because Jews were separate. They were God's people. We're learning in these passages that they've fallen. And that God today has turned to Jew and Gentile. God treats a Jew just like a Gentile. They're just part of the nations. So the nations, as we're talking about the Gentiles, way back in the Tower of Babel, that's when we turned from God and God left us and started and separated out Abraham and created the nation of Israel. All the time through the Old Testament, God was dealing with that nation of Israel. It was through the nation of Israel that they were to be a light to us Gentiles, but Israel never became the light. God's always dealing with them. But anyhow, when you come to Matthew chapter 6 and you're in the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus Christ is telling the nation of Israel, like in verse 31, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now notice the parentheses. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For now he goes back talking to the nation of Israel, your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the nation of Israel, don't seek the things that the Gentiles seek. And he names food, what's the list there? Eat and drink and what you shall wear. Now, when Paul says the Gentiles followed not after righteousness, we weren't seeking righteousness. Gentiles, all they cared about is there food on the table? Do I got plenty to drink? And do I have clothes to wear? And that's what the Gentiles sought after. Now, the Gentiles who didn't seek after righteousness sought these things. They end up attaining to righteousness. That's an amazing concept. And how it is that they obtained unto righteousness. But see, those are the things that the Gentiles seek. And I need to say to you, too, that that's the things the Gentiles sought. And we're talking about Gentiles who didn't know the Lord. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today and you get saved, is that still true about your life? That's kind of off the subject a little bit, but enough to make you stop and think. What do you live for? Are you still living like a lost Gentile? That all that's important in your life is the food on the table and something to drink and clothes on your back and you live and that's all life is all about? You haven't learned much yet if that's what your life is about. Those things are necessary for a sustaining of life here on earth, but that's not what life is all about. And when you get saved, hopefully you realize that you're here for a purpose of glorifying the Lord in all that you say and do. And that there's a ministry to be done in this earth that's beyond just feeding yourself and clothing yourself and taking care of your family and that type of thing. There's a ministry. There's a work to do. So be careful. But that's when Jesus Christ talked about the Gentiles, that's what he said they sought after. They certainly weren't seeking after righteousness. Come to Matthew 15. When a Gentile did come to the Lord, it's because her daughter was vexed with the devil. And as she comes to the Lord seeking for, she's a Gentile, come out of the coast of Tyre. She's a Canaanite. She wants her daughter relieved of this devil that possesses her. And as she's seeking the Lord to do that, he won't even listen to her. So because he won't pay any attention to her, she goes to the apostles. And the apostles go to the Lord and say, will you send this woman away? She's bothering us. But they don't go to him and say, can you help this lady out? The Lord won't listen to her. The 12 apostles don't even care about her at all. Why is that? Well, verse 25, it says, verse 24, he says, he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that's a real important verse for you to understand, especially if you're going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to realize that he was not sent here to us Gentiles. That Jesus Christ, the reason he wouldn't listen to this Gentile woman, the reason the apostles wanted to send her away, is that when he came in his earthly ministry, in his first coming, he was not coming here to minister to us Gentiles. This wasn't for her. The healing that she saw going on in Israel had nothing to do with a Gentile. And he plainly states, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his earthly ministry. The ministry that's going on today is after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven. From heaven, he called the Apostle Paul and sent him to us Gentiles. The ministry that we have from Jesus Christ is not his earthly ministry, but a heavenly ministry. Where we've been called from Jesus Christ from heaven to a salvation that God has that's for us. And you find that in Paul's epistles because from heaven, that's where the Apostle Paul was called, saved, and sent to us Gentiles. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ wasn't sent to us Gentiles. So that's why he's not paying any attention to her. And it says in verse 25, she came and then came she and worshipped him saying, help me, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So I want you to understand about Gentiles. Gentiles didn't seek after righteousness, and even Jesus Christ called us dogs. Dogs in the sense dog was an unclean animal. And Jesus Christ is not only identifying the fact that we're not seeking after righteousness, we're unclean. That's why his reference to dogs. And that the things he was doing belonged to the nation of Israel. Now she persuades the Lord to heal her daughter only because she said, yeah, but the dogs eat the bread that falls from the master's table. And he says, great is your faith. She understood that the Gentiles can get a little sprinkling of the scraps that belong to Israel through what's overflow from the nation of Israel. But she admitted to the Lord, you're right, I'm a dog. I don't deserve this. This isn't for me. But is there a little crumb for me? And there was. And that's how Gentiles will be blessed through the nation of Israel. But you need to understand there how that we were considered unclean. We certainly didn't attain back here unto the righteousness of God. Come over to Acts chapter 13. Now, this is a real interesting passage. The Apostle Paul's preaching in a synagogue of a Jew, but remember, he has a message for the Gentiles, and he's telling the Jews about it, and he's including more than the Jewish people when he's talking. Look at verse 38. It says, be it known unto you, therefore, Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, he's been preaching about Jesus Christ who came to Israel, was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. He said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, so much is said in that verse. First of all, that all who believe, and all who believe means more than just the Jew. It includes the Gentile. All who believe are justified, that is, declared righteous. It's by Jesus Christ. See, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was the payment for our sins, so that our sins can be taken away through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and propitiated, fully satisfied, as completely paid before God the Father. And when you believe that message, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put to your account. It's His righteousness put to your account on the moment you believe. So all who believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross can be declared righteous by God. God will declare you righteous because He'll impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account when you believe that message. And when He does that, you're justified from all things. Every sin you've ever done and ever will do, you're declared righteous. You're not declared a sinner any longer. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It declared you righteous above things that the law could ever declare a person righteous for. Then Paul says to the Jewish people there, and this is interesting for those especially who's been with us on Wednesday, and we've studied pretty closely book of Habakkuk. But he's quoting Habakkuk here when he says this, beware therefore, lest thou come up, that come upon you which was spoken in the prophets. Behold ye despisers, and wonder and perish. Now, let me just tell you, the book of Habakkuk is baffled. He's asking God, you explain this thing to me, I don't understand this. That Israel might have been in rebellion against God, but God is going to allow Babylon to come and conquer Israel. And he says, how can you take someone worse and judge us by a worse nation? And it's there in Habakkuk that he's learning that God's going to do something that a man won't believe, though God's going to tell him it's going to happen. Habakkuk was one of those guys. Lord, I can't believe you're going to do this. Now, Paul's taking those very same words, and he's saying to the Jews, he's warning them that what's going to happen is going to come upon you, what's written in Habakkuk. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. Israel despised God's word, and they wandered and perished in Habakkuk. But now Paul's applying what's going to happen to them. He's warning them, for I work a work in your days, a work in which you in no wise will believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath day. What words? That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all who believe can be justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Gentiles never sought after the law of Moses, not one day of their life. They didn't want to get circumcised. They didn't want to go to the temple. They didn't want to offer sacrifices. They didn't want to follow God through the law of Israel. It wasn't given to them, and they weren't even concerned. They weren't even after it. But when they heard the Apostle Paul say that you can be declared righteous from all of your sins because of what Jesus Christ did by believing, they said, I'll do that. Hey, Paul, will you preach that to us again? I want to hear that again. But you know, the Jewish people got upset with that message. And they went after Paul, and Paul said, it's God's will that we turn to the Gentiles. In fact, for those who want to study it further, I'm not going to spend any time, but look at verse 43. It says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. These Jews and proselytes were never converted to Jesus Christ. They've heard Paul preach Christ. And Paul's saying, now you Jews and you proselytes, the message for you is the grace of God, the gospel of grace. And so they are to continue in God's, in the gospel of grace. But as you read on, the Jews rejected that message. But that's the point. The Gentiles here are willing to hear about justification on the basis of the law without, on the basis of faith without the law. Now remember, that's what Paul said. That the Gentiles which followed not after the law, righteousness have obtained unto righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of faith. You know, that's pretty typical. A lazy Gentile who thought nothing about trying to clean up his life and stand before God and living under strict rules of the law and present himself to God, that he ends up attaining unto righteousness. But the Jew who sought God's righteousness under the law, those people don't get righteousness. See what I mean about conceive and perceive? People, that message that a Gentile, just simply believing what Jesus Christ did, he can be found righteous before God, but a strict, living, holy, righteous Jew who is following the law, God condemns him. Now that's what the verses are saying. And the reason why is because righteousness is going to come through Jesus Christ. Come over to Galatians chapter 2. In chapter 1, I'm just going to tell you in verses 11 through 15 there, the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel that he preached and how he's separated from his mother's womb. And he talks about how he was more zealous than his own other countrymen and that he followed the traditions of his father. And he mentions twice there the religion of the Jews. So the Apostle Paul used to be when he was Saul of Tarsus, was a very religious man, following the traditions and was extremely zealous. Keep that in mind. But later, when he goes out and preaches to Gentiles, Peter does something that Paul has to confront him with. Chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, before that, certain came from James, I should read verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were them which were of the circumcision. See, when God was dealing with Israel, they weren't allowed to eat with Gentiles. And Gentiles are unclean. You're not to be allowed to be around them. But these are the Gentiles who have believed the gospel and are righteous in God's sight. And Peter says, oh, I can eat with them. But when some Jews came from Jerusalem, sent from James, Peter said, I better not eat with these Gentiles. He separates himself. So Paul confronts him. It gets even worse. Verse 13, it says, other Jews disassembled likewise with him, inasmuch as that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, walkest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? You see what Peter's doing? He's now all of a sudden eating with the Gentiles, then all of a sudden now he's acting Jewish again and saying, you Gentiles are unclean. That's what he's declaring. That's why he's to be blamed. These Gentiles are unclean. They got declared righteous on what basis? Faith. Look at the next verse. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, what did Jews consider Gentiles? Righteous? No, they didn't consider the Gentiles righteous. Gentiles didn't even seek after righteousness. They just considered them sinners. But Paul says to Peter, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus Christ was the faithful one who went to the cross and faithfully died on the cross and gave his life as a payment for our sin. We're saved by his faithfulness, by his righteousness, by his work of redemption. And Paul says to Peter, you know that you're not saved by the works of the law either, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, how many people? Now listen to that. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Peter, you know that your law keeping does not save you, that you're saved through the righteousness, through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and by believing in Jesus Christ, you're declared righteous before God, and not by the works of law. So why are you acting like you're under the law, teaching these Gentiles that they're now unclean and not fit to eat with? So, we've learned some important points, that the Gentiles have obtained unto righteousness on the basis of faith. But now, let's consider what Romans said about the Jews. Gentiles have obtained, Jews have not attained. How did it say that in Romans? I gotta get there myself. Romans chapter 9 and verse 31. So we learn what it said about the Gentiles and how it is that they attained. They were willing to believe that Jesus, the work that Jesus Christ did in their behalf, and trust in the righteousness, the work of Jesus Christ in their behalf, and get saved. But Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And that stumbling stone was Jesus Christ. Now, the three things that it said about Israel is they followed after the law of righteousness. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Jews weren't lazy like the Gentiles. They weren't sinners like the Gentiles. They were living under the law of God and were zealous of the law. Paul said that's what he was, exceedingly more zealous than his equals. And the Jews, they're more zealous. Gentiles, just lazy sinners, just eating, drinking, and worrying about what they're going to wear. That's all they cared about. Jews cared about more than that. But they're lost and Gentiles are saved. How can that be? Well, they sought it by the works of the law. They stumbled over Christ. They bypassed Him, trying to achieve their own righteousness. So we know that Israel, which followed after righteousness, didn't obtain to righteousness. And the reason they didn't, they sought to be justified on the basis of their works. And by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Now, watch this. Come back to Matthew again. And watch how this is developed. Matthew chapter 3. You know, I could probably give you an illustration of a sweet little old lady who attended church all the time and under her strict Social Security income gave a big portion of that to the offering plate every week in order for to serve the Lord. And all her life she attended church and was always trying to be a part of everything that went on. And she always just trusted her goodness to save her. And as a result, she's going to hell. But you preach to a drug dealer on the street and you tell him you realize God loves you, even in the condition that you're in. And God will save you and give you eternal life if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He says, really? He says, yeah, God loves you that much. Christ paid for it all. Believe and be saved. That guy could trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, maybe die a very short time after or a long time after, don't matter. If he trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, that sweet little old lady goes to hell. That drug dealer goes to heaven. That's hard for people to perceive, but they can perceive that, but they can't conceive it. They will not believe that message. Because they want to think that the righteousness of man is worth something. I said I could give you an illustration like that, but I hope you realize what I'm doing here. I'm showing you verses in the Bible that illustrate that. So that rather than me persuading you through illustration, you'll understand the truth that's in the Scriptures. Look what Jesus Christ said, even as He taught in His earthly ministry concerning righteousness. Matthew chapter 3, He comes to John to be baptized. In verse 13 it says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized, to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him. Now, you need to watch this verse close. It says, But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? Well, if water baptism had something to do with cleansing, you would understand why John would say, hey, why am I going to cleanse you? You need to cleanse me. But there's a reason he needed to do it. Verse 15. Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it, allow this to happen now. Suffer it to be so for now, so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Then John went ahead and baptized the Lord. Now, you know, the number one reason that people get water baptized today is they say, Jesus was baptized and I need to follow Jesus in baptism. Do you realize that that is the number one reason you should never be water baptized? That is the worst statement you could ever make. Jesus was baptized for what purpose? To fulfill all righteousness. Are you going to allow him fulfill it and you're going to be saved through his faithfulness, through his righteousness? Or are you going to get saved because you're going to fulfill your own righteousness? And if you're trying to fulfill your own righteousness, are you of the Gentiles who found righteousness on the basis of faith? Or are you like Israel who sought it after the law of righteousness and have not attained? See, religious people who are doing ceremonies and rituals in order to be saved are lost and on the way to hell, no matter how much church they're attending and how many rituals they're doing, because they're trying to fulfill their own righteousness. They're seeking after the law of righteousness and they have not attained. Jesus Christ came to fulfill all righteousness, and he did. And we can be saved through his righteousness, not ours. So he came to fulfill all righteousness. Come to chapter 5. Now, here's Israel who sought after righteousness, and the Lord, that's a good thing to seek after righteousness. In the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now here's people who want to be found righteous. The Lord says, that's great that they want to be right. They'll be filled. He's going to provide the way to make them righteous. And if they're seeking after righteousness, seek him. He'll give it to them. Look at verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, you know, if you're seeking after righteousness, and then the Lord in the same message says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not going to enter into heaven. You know what you'd realize? Man, that's the righteousness I can't attain to in myself. You know, I would dare say, and maybe I'm overstepping my bounds, I don't know, but I'll say it anyhow. I would dare say you've never lived as righteous as a Pharisee one day in your life. Now, we'll read about Saul of Tarsus, how he lived as a Pharisee, and I don't think you've ever one day in your life lived that righteously. But notice the Lord Jesus Christ says, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you're not entering into the kingdom of God. Come over to chapter 6. We just read the verse a second ago. I'll read it again. We talked about what the Gentiles sought after. It says in Matthew 6. Is that where you're all at? Matthew 6 and verse 33. He tells them, don't seek the things that the Gentiles seek after. He says in verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The kingdom saints, they're going to have riches galore, but they first got to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching them that. You know, the prophets have said, Isaiah wrote at a time in which Israel was in apostasy, and he told how God is going to restore the nation of Israel and clothe them in a robe of righteousness. Jeremiah says that there'll be a time in which the nation of Israel says to the Lord our righteousness. In fact, Jeremiah says there'll be a time that the Gentiles look at Israel and say, the Lord their righteousness. They were to be clothed in God's righteousness. God was going to provide righteousness for them. And the Lord is teaching them, but they're not listening to them because they had all this stuff under the law that they were just going to proceed under the law and achieve their own righteousness. Come to Matthew chapter 9. Now here where Matthew was called to follow the Lord, and Matthew was a Jew who worked for the Roman government, and they considered him someone who would take bribes and a sinner, and And so the Lord comes to his house. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, and it came to pass, Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners, the tax collectors and the sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why does your master, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ, these Pharisees, they thought they were righteous, but their heart is giving them away. God said, go learn what this meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. You don't care anything about people. You just care about keeping the law. There's something wrong with your heart. And these Pharisees, they're condemning Jesus Christ for eating with publicans and sinners. And Christ's statement to them is that I'm not here to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You Pharisees, you think you're righteous? Then you don't need to come. But what did just Christ say when he was on the Sermon on the Mount in public for everybody to hear? Unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. If I was a Pharisee and I heard that, I would say, you know, my righteousness must come short. That there's something, how could I do any more than I'm doing by keeping the law? Maybe I got to seek God's righteousness. Maybe I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Maybe I ought to take my place with the sinners and be saved by Jesus Christ. That's what they should have done, but they didn't do that. One of the ones who would not do that, now whether he was the Pharisee who followed Christ, I doubt. But a man, Saul of Tarsus, who God called to make Paul the apostle of the Gentiles, he was such a Pharisee. Look what he learned. Come to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and start in verse 4, and listen to this and understand it. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. So any man, and that includes you. You think you can trust your flesh, that you're a pretty good person, that you've attained, then Paul says, I done better than you, and listen to what he says. Concerning doing better than you, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, that's a good tribe, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he sought after the law of righteousness. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church of God. Touching the righteousness which in the law, blameless. I did everything, I was so zealous, I did everything that law said. But you know, that wasn't good enough, is it? Your righteousness has to exceed that. It says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of God by faith. Paul said, I took all my religious traditions and works under the law and all my zeal and religion. And he says, I count them lost. I get rid of them. I count them dung that I might have the righteousness that comes by believing in Jesus Christ. His righteousness that comes on the basis of faith. Now, you know who's saved and who's lost? Romans chapter 10. We'll review it again next week when we start. Romans 10 says Israel had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Until you take your religion and your ceremonies and your works and your law keeping and do like Paul said, it's dung, I throw it away, it's not worth nothing. And just believe what Jesus Christ did for you. You're not saved until that moment happens. A lot of times we don't know if someone's saved. You know how you need to find out? First of all, yourself. If you're to die today, where would you spend eternity? Well, if you answered, well, I was baptized, or I attended church, or I did, and you start talking about your works, you're lost. But if you say, and can mean from the heart, I realize I'm a sinner and I don't deserve heaven, but I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and all who believe in him are declared righteous from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, you're saved. If you're not trusting your works, but his work on the cross, you're saved. But no matter how religious, how holy, how righteous you've lived, if you're trusting in those works to save you, you're lost. And that's true about your friends and relatives. A lot of them go into church, and you need to ask them, are they saved? And if they say yes, you need to ask them how you know you're saved. And if they start coming back with their religious efforts, you know from Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10 there that they have not attained unto God's righteousness. They only have their own, which is like standing before God in dung to try to be saved. They need to realize what Jesus Christ did and that God only declares a man righteous on the basis of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Make sure you're saved. And then learn the message of grace so that you can minister to others who you think might be saved, but maybe they're not. And not that I'm trying to make you a judge of someone else. I'm trying to help you minister to someone who thinks they might be on their way to heaven and have missed the boat because they're not trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for very clear verses, very simple. When it comes to the gospel, Father, you're always simple. There's profound things in your word, and we thank you that we can study them and dig them out. But I pray today that each one of us would understand how important it is for us to give up our works, our tradition, our religion, take our place as a sinner, and believe that Jesus Christ provided complete salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. Just trust in what you've done and be saved, whether we've sought righteousness in our life or not. But Father, we pray that now that we have been saved, that we'll be careful to minister your gospel message and live in such a way that others would want to know about our Savior, but help us to minister to other lost people because you not only loved us and saved us, you love them and want to save them too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.